And we share 26 now. I'm sorry, those things count out. Share 26. And that's it. So that's how it works. Now we're up to paragraph A.
Rob?
Yeah.
So you would say that we created Hitler, too. I mean, that it's our bad deeds to create
Absolutely.
Hitler.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, look, it's not that radical. What we're gleaning from the Ramchal and the Nefesh HaChayim, I mean, nobody is going to say that Hitler Yimach Shemo stood up to Hashem and there was a boxing match and Hitler Yimach Shemo won 7 rounds, but Hashem came back, amazing comeback, and knocked him out in the. No one. No religious Jew would say that. Hashem allowed him to do it. Anyway, there was a Gemara Murah, which people don't like when you say Hashem knew what he was doing. It was deserved. People don't like that. So they say, we can't understand what Hashem did. I don't know why that makes people happier. People maybe like a chaotic world more than The Shoah was a section of the words of the Chumash. It's spooky when you see that the prophecy that's been written in the Chumash 2,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago, came true word for word. That should make a person stop and think, but that's getting off on a tangent. The point is, anyway, Hashem had Hitler do what he did. Hashem had to make the Shevet Apo. The Navi calls it. All the rod of Hashem. Nobody's acting independently, Cholila. So all the Nefesh HaChaim is adding the insight, and the Ramchal would definitely say the same thing because it's just conclusion to what he says, is that it's not just Hashem allowed him to do it because we sinned and we deserve the punishment. We did it. We destroyed the Beis HaMikdash with our sins. So it starts lamata, it goes up, and then down. And the down is that the Nebuchadnezzar or Hitler destroyed what they destroyed, but we did it with our sins. People don't like to hear that.
Okay.
So,
but
to be honest.
Some people sin, but some people
didn't sin. No. Okay, now you're getting into areas that are indeed beyond us. And now you have to learn Das Tvunos. If you want to understand Tzadik Viralo, and you want to understand how Kivan Shenitein Rishus Lamashchis Lahashchis Shuveinu Mavchin Bein Tov L'ra, and you want to understand Hashem's concept, so to speak, reality's concept, the Torah's concept of collective responsibility of Kol Yisrael Arevin Zel Ozer, so you'll have a better idea after you learn the Das, the Sefer Das Tfunos. But you have to first learn Mesilas Yesharim. Then you have to learn Derech Hashem, and then you have to learn Das Tvunos. It's not a joke. Not a joke. At least the Hakadoma to Mesilas Yesharim. At least the Hakadoma. Perek Aleph. The Hakadoma and Perek Aleph. Then you can go to Derech Hashem. Just 1 second. And then you go to Das Tvunos. But I don't know how to break the news to you. You're not the first person to have thought of that question. I mean, it's a question, you know. It's a question. The phenomena would have existed in Mitzrayim, which is why Hashem had to say, so to speak, Hal Yetzi Ish Mi Pesach Peso Ad Boker. Right? And what does Rashi say? Gemara Chazal Kimin Shenitin Rishus Lamashkus Lahashkus Shirvin Amafu In Tov L'ra. So there's a collective, sometimes a collective. Again, I don't want to, people don't like when you talk about sins and punishment. If you read, historians are starting, not secular historians are starting to realize the downhill slide of Klal Yisrael that existed before the Shoah in an unprecedented way. And if you delve into it, it wouldn't even be so shocking. Not everybody has to sin, you know. Arabless is a real thing. And if it's very scary, but it's a real thing, Kol Yisrael Arevin Zel Ozer, if I don't put up enough of a fuss and things happen, And this is a Gemara. If you're not moche enough, if you have an ability to... Not only that, the Gemara says if you didn't put up enough of a fuss, then you get punished too. And the Midas, and then the Malach says to Hashem, but even if they would have put up a fuss, it wouldn't have helped. Talking about the first Beis HaMikdash now. Why did the Tzaddikim get killed? Sounds familiar? Question sounds familiar? Why did good people get killed? So he said, because they weren't moche. They didn't make a fuss about their Avodah Zarah, their morality. So he says, but even if they would have, it wouldn't have helped. So Hashem says to him, this is in the Gemara. You know that, and I know that. But they didn't know that. So that's very scary. It means even if it wouldn't have helped, but if you didn't fulfill... So you say, well, does that mean we have to scream Shabbos, Shabbos, and all passing cars? It's not as crazy as it sounds. The only reason I would answer you no is because that's counterproductive. We know that. And we're living in a world where everything, all these things, because of social media, because of the anti-religious press, because of anti-religious people, because social media is so prevalent, Shkarim can go around the world in like 10 seconds. So you have to be very smart how to influence people. Many things now which used to be the way to be moche are now counterproductive. And you have to be smart and have guidance by experienced people. But sometimes people use it as an excuse to not be moche. So how do you, finding the right balance. So Hashem is the ultimate judge. Hashem is the ultimate judge. We have to do our best. And Hashem is the ultimate judge if you tapped out or if you made your chiyuv macha. But the Gemara deals with these issues. There might be other cheshbonos, but certainly the Gemara says that when you see the phenomena of good people getting killed, it's at least possible, perhaps even likely, perhaps, that they weren't moche. So they're caught up because of Arabus. They didn't object strongly enough. They didn't put a stop to it. They let things slide. People, I feel safe. As long as my house is kosher, so I don't care if the other person's house is not kosher. Now, we're all collectively responsible for everyone's behavior. But that's a heavy thing. Okay, anyway. Getting back to the Rav Chaim and the Ramchal, so that's the way it is. So, when we have Bechira, it means we are the sources of everything that happens. And it was pointed out last week that it's not, we're talking very general terms. Something could have been not a product of Bechira, could have started off with Alma, and just like someone's supposed to lose a job, not as a product of his Bechira, but just it's supposed to happen. It's part of Hashem's game plan for the universe. And you can intervene. We can intervene Lamata and say Tillim, do good deeds, give Staka, right? Like storm the heavens, so to speak, and we can have an effect. It works. So there I could like tug at this chain down here and affect something that, objectively speaking, would start up there. But I can intervene. So we have that aspect of that koach also. Yeah, what was your question?
The Rambam said that what's the difference between say that we cause things to happen upstairs as opposed to Hashem allowing it to happen? You said that not that Hashem
allowing
it to happen.
No difference, it just makes us realize that we are the cause. It's not Hashem arbitrarily decided this should. If people are more comfortable, this is deeper. You say Hashem brought on a shower. Okay, fine. We don't understand what Hashem does, and we accept it. Okay, that's certainly the theological stance of a Jew, and that's
healthy.
And you can go deeper. You can say, you know, Hashem didn't stop sending to us. He didn't just roll the dice. Hashem was a rachamon. Hashem was a vino malkeinu. Hashem loves us. Why would he do such a thing? There must be a punishment for sinners. That's the next level. I even understand that he's punishing us. Now I'm going to an even deeper level. When you learn the Ramchal, and you learn the Hushachayim, they basically are along the same lines, then you're going even deeper. And it's not just Hashem is punishing us because of our sins, but we did it. We negatively affected what happens in the Shemayim. We tugged the rope, the chain, negatively down here. It created certain forces of evil, of tumah, of ra, and that came back down again along that chain. So it's even the deeper, again, it's like physics. You know, you could know why the light turned on one level, you could then go deeper into it and see why the light turned on, and you can go even deeper into it and see why the light turned on. Okay? So this is deep. This is deep. Believe me, it's even deeper than this. But this is the level we're on. Hopefully, we're getting a little flavor. Okay, we're up to paragraph 5. Hey. And really, it's going to sound repetitious because I explained everything top heavy from the beginning. The Inei Sidra Adam Baruch Hu was everything ultimately. Nothing's done without Hashem's engineering it, empowering it. She called in Yonam Asher Tipo Behem Bechirotu Shel Adam, anything that is under the heading of Bechira, Tov and Ra, as I keep saying. Not every choice we make is Tov and Ra. Yagiyu will reach Lahamiya B'tznuah HaBechiri Yitzhak HaKochus Ha'em. Everything I do, every choice I make, every aveira I do, every mitzvah I do, is tugging at the chain in a positive way or in a negative way. But also Hashir Bahamad Vega Shachalak Lahem. There's rules of physics. If you violate the Mitzvah, if you violate the Oraisa, if you eat Anyam Kippur, if you talk Lashon Hara, if you Amin Havatal Torah, you give too little tzedakah, you insulted someone publicly. Everything has its amount of force that you yanked on the chain. Not everything's the same. There are things of more intensity, things of less intensity. Hashem worked out the physics of each aveira, each action I do, for each bechira I make, and then it's enormously, enormously, enormously complicated. Because bechira is very rarely black and white, right? Especially, I'm a product of my upbringing and my family and my friends, and especially then you bring in the Michtav Meliyahu, the Kudas HaBechira, and there's things that are above the level of my Bechira, things that are below the level of my Bechira. So it's enormously complicated because everything has to be judged with all the size factors as well. And also it was pointed out that every person is different. We're talking about like with all the 3 billion people in the world, or let's say the Jews, all the 12 million Jews in the world are one person. But the extreme complexity here, multiply it by 12 million. And I have a picture of what's going on. Hashem is the higher secretary. Vahainu, he loved my soul, but now the Ramchal explains even deeper what he meant. I talked about different aveiros, different intensities, or mitzvahs, aveiros. He says, Vahainu, he loved my soul, vavadu yinayim. Now it's really scary, not just your actions. El afilu diburo. We're talking about not just actions, but we're talking about speech. Afilu machshavto, be judged many times, maybe not always, but many times. You have machshavos, which can be also good or bad. You have to purify your mind, you have to purify your thoughts. Your thoughts are not hefker. Your desires, your thoughts, your plans, your aspirations, that's all in techeshmet. So, now, if you would ask people, you would say, what has the most effect? Action, word, or thought? So, I'll say action, probably. Action. Hebrew is less, talking to have a bad thought. But the Chaim Friedlander here brings up in the Nefesh HaChaim that it really is in the reverse order. Now, Gemara, you see, he sees some Gemaras. Because the thought of a person is deeper than his actions. It's deeper. It's more than the kishkas of a person, what the person is and how he relates to things. His thoughts are primary. So it could be, the Ramchal doesn't go into it. He just says these three things are different. But it can very well be that Machshava is the deepest and has the most effect. And if if a person has evil thoughts or bad thoughts or improper thoughts or inappropriate thoughts or antichristian thoughts or whatever, there's going to be retribution. We don't know. We don't know. Maybe Ramchal meant that the deed is the worst, and then thought is the lightest. Rav Shechayim, though, says the other way around.
Well,
yeah.
You're trying to say the opposite. Like, if thoughts come into your head, and then you get the chance to react to them appropriately. Like, you can't always control if things, like, your thoughts. Sometimes you get an urge in your head to do something bad, but you stop it and you say, no, I'm not going to do that. But it's not, you don't get penalized for getting that urge in your head, but then you have the chance to rectify it.
I see no reason to say that there's any type of machlokas here. We're talking about a thought with finality. We're talking about a thought that's in progress, in process.
Uh-huh.
It's still, I will chase it out of my mind. I get an urge to do something. He's talking about, thoughts that are with a finality. I already lost the war.
Okay. So if you walk by McDonald's and you just have this thought, I love a cheeseburger, but you say, no, I can't eat a cheeseburger, that doesn't count. Like,
you get a very big mitzvah. The person without the urge doesn't get a mitzvah for avoiding the cheeseburger. He doesn't have a desire for the cheeseburger. The person with the urge. I know, so I say, let me go develop the urge. So that I'll get a scar and I don't need it. That's a dangerous game.
Yeah.
They used to play that game. You have Shamsi Tzvi and his. They used to play that game to develop Titus in order ostensibly to fight it. And that quickly degenerates into what you would expect it to degenerate into. But it's a very good point. I mean, you don't get punished for an urge. You get punished for a finality of thought. Well, also sort of Rachel Valkyrie nation.
You wouldn't get rewarded also for, like, a good thought comes into your head, but you don't act on it, right?
We're talking about thoughts that have a finality.
Uh-huh.
Not just everything that flits through your mind, I would imagine. Unless it's also bigger thoughts that flit through your mind, that could also be there. Achshir hatzluah, the amount of the ripple. Umadregasa, and how much it affects, lo yiyu elaboso hagvul, shengazra v'engbila hachmo ha'elyona. What that means is that it's physics. It's mamish, there's laws of physics. And just like every action has a reaction, and just like there's forces and vectors, I don't know physics, and there's, if not for some law of physics, things would fall at a different rate of speed. As it is, things fall at the same rate of speed. I don't get that, but that's what you say. Who thought of that? That's
I don't know.
What counts is it falls to earth at the same rate of speed. Anyway, there's physics. And so here also is physics. And there's the physics. What kind of air has what kind of reaction and makes this sort of chain effect. Okay. Someone that knows physics more will appreciate that statement more. But that's what it is. It's a whole world of its own teva, the teva of Ruchnius. And it has its own laws, but we can, because Hashem has opened up, has seen fit to open up amazing of the physical world, so we can understand this now, because we're sort of aware that this exists, this complexity, this, you know, keeps getting deeper and deeper and deeper as things keep getting deeper and deeper and deeper, keeps getting smaller and smaller and smaller, and the reactions are less easy to predict, and who knows? Maybe the uncertainty principle is ultimately in Ruchnius, the fact that we can never really know why Hashem is doing anything. So as much as we follow a line and we see the cause and effect, and we could figure out cause and effect, but we can never, like, if you keep going deeper and deeper, we can never really. Certainly, we don't really know what's going to happen. We don't know what Hashem is going to do at any given moment. That is probably something like the spiritual equivalent of the other end of the chain, of the uncertainty principle. But we ultimately don't know what Hashem is going to do. But it's not hit or miss. We're just looking for that key. Hashem knows what he's doing. We don't. But it looks a little haphazard, you know, when you get that deep into it. Okay, so paragraph A says that there's a physics and everything has its amount of force and amount of effect. How strongly it yanks the chain, how much of a detrimental effect it has on it, etc. Paragraph 6. The Omnam. Well, again, I said it already. He really is. Om the Machar Yatznu HaBachirius Ti Moshek Behechrech Tznu Bukrachas. After it goes up, then it has to come down again. Because I can't affect anything more than I can physically do. If I do an aver, if I eat, if I'm a person of the Chal Shabbos, I can't affect if the Israeli army will win this battle or not. I have no direct connection to that. I'm limited to my Chilul Shabbos or my Shmirah Shabbos. All he's saying here is that, because he didn't speak it out before I did. He says, when you say it goes from down to up, but then it has to come back down again, because it's still maintaining the physics that the action is happening up there, and then the ripple effect is down here, and that's still flowing. What we're saying is that in things that are dependent on Bechira, so I am the source of what's happening up there. So it goes up, but it has to come back down again because I can't affect anything larger or beyond the scope of my physical capabilities. I can't affect the war. I can't affect if someone gets out of jail. I can't affect if there's a depression, or if the economy is booming, or I can't. Well, I'm in my little world here, which has limited my ability to do mitzvahs or avodas. You know? So that's what he says here. So after it goes up, it comes back down. So on the machar hatznuah habachirius, timoshek behechrei hatznuah mukrakas. You always end up with the ripple effect going from up to down, which is he calls tznuah mukrakas. That's not behechiridik. Because that half is not Bechira there. That half is the chain, and that's how it works. Kikivin she'is no'a'u. Once HaKokos HaElyonim were moved, or acting, they're acting, it's going, it's doing something, it's pulsating with energy. Maybe negative energy, maybe positive energy. Mitzad HaAdam, right, I turn the key, So now, I can't do anything beyond the parakasilim, I said. So it has to go up and then come back down, where it could do wonderful things, hopefully. So after it goes up, it comes back down along the line of things that are not Bechira Dik. The only thing that happens with Bechira is that the source of what happens is me and my actions, mankind and his or her actions. Then he says, don't think you understand anything. What I get out of this, I told you already, it makes bitachon for me much easier. I don't know why. Because it's not even happening here. It's not just Hashem decrees and I'm... It happened already. Like it happened, I don't know, let's say it takes a day to get down here. So it happened already. So it's Shuvah, Tzilut, Tzoka, my Venus, Ryan, Zerah. See, that's what the Ramchal Sofa didn't talk about. He talked about things caused by my Machira, but Lachara, I can intervene now. And even if things happen, because that's the way the world is supposed to run, and Hashem has his reasons for sending an economic tailspin to a certain country, and there's people in the streets starving, or there's no water, no rain, let's say, but we can intervene. We're pushing our way into the picture by doing mitzvahs and doing things with schus and giving tzedakah. I said all the Hasidic stories you hear. Mm-hmm. So you say, they can sound like nice fairy tales. But when you learn Ramchal, you say, because that's where the action is. So if the Baal Shem Tov could smoke his pipe and intervene in the Olam HaSol Yonim, I get that. Maybe I can still be a skeptic and say there's no mitzvah to smoke a pipe, and if he didn't do a mitzvah, that's not really the point. The point is, that's really indeed where the action is, so it's not illogical or irrational to say that someone is able to enter the Olam HaElyonim, as it's called, and effect a Yeshua, even for someone's problems. And he's able to do that because he's on a very high madrega and the connection is very, very strong. So it's not like a fairy tale. It's just a question of if it happened that way or not. But it certainly could. No reason why not. So many different laws of physics, so many different laws. Hashem knows what he's doing in the depth of his wisdom. Everything works out in a perfectly, perfectly, perfectly timed. Everything's perfect. The world's perfect. Hashem knows exactly what he's doing. And he's doing it in the best possible alpha. And this is true for people who have tzoros tzoros. People have tzoros. I don't know people have tzoros. People who lead charmed lives. V'sharu advar v'shiurim ravim. It's like, it's impossible to even talk about. Billions and billions and billions and billions and billions of megabytes. Gigabytes. Going up. Going down. According to these deepest of secrets, because every mitzvah is different, and every person is different, and every reaction is different, and every everything is different, and it's like flying. I think it's easier to understand this in the age of computers because, so much was happening, with the blink of an eye, billions of things could be happening. This is how Hashem functions. Hashem doesn't snap his fingers anymore and say, he doesn't snap his fingers anymore and say, Tote Oretz Deshe. doesn't snap his fingers anymore and say, you know, he dogged him to chayyot. Now everything is a process. Everything is a process, and it starts and it ends, and it's one thing leads to another, and the other thing leads to another. This is how Hashem works. Hashem doesn't just say, you know, yehi this anymore. That was good for Shesh and Shemei Gracious. Doesn't work like that anymore. Now it's deep and heavy, and maybe it's dependent on us, and maybe it's not dependent on us, depending on the nature of the thing. Okay.